I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me this morning. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there, those of you that exist. I've had some conversations recently, this past weekend. I'll tell you, it's tough. It's tough out there talking to people these days, isn't it? It is really hard to break conditioning on just about anything. Maybe I'm the same, but we soldier ahead anyway. Lots to talk about today. I've got a ton of clips from the weekend, and one very interesting article. It says, "Is there a way to prevent psychopaths from getting into positions of power?" And we're going to take a look at that as well, because basically I'll spend the first part of the show today playing clips of psychopaths who are in power, and then we'll explore if there's any way to actually stop this from happening, because they certainly have a lot of sway these days. Anyway, plenty to get to today, and a couple of stacks of headlines. It's almost like maybe there is a bit of a shift going on right now. I'm looking for any signs of optimism that we're gaining our sense of rationality and sanity back here in this country, and it was kind of interesting that I've got two stacks of headlines. I've kind of found this an interesting snapshot when I see these things of exactly where we are. I don't even click on a lot of the links. I just look kind of at the headlines to get kind of a sense of direction of where we're headed. And within a couple of days, the headlines just seem to be markedly different. Now, this may be the cultivation of the person who puts these things, and I generally pull them from Drudge Report. Because Drudge is... it's a conservative website. It's been eschewed by a lot of Trump supporters because Matt Drudge was not sufficiently Donald Trump. And he does run some things I'm surprised by. I always wanted to know what happened within the Drudge Report to kind of change their direction. But there's a whole host of things there. I'm not in love with Donald Trump, so being insulting to him didn't really dissuade me from using anybody's site. I'm critical of him here as well. But anyway, just interesting to take a look at these things. And we'll see. I'll give you two different stacks in a few minutes here, and we can look and see if maybe we're headed in a better direction. Quotes of the day today. I've got a ton of them. Let me see if I want to do all of these. I ran across this one. If you have never seen the movie V for Vendetta, I highly recommend it. If you're one of these freedom fighters out there that want to see the psychopaths taken down, V for Vendetta, one of the best movies out there. A quote from that is, "I'm not going to censor myself to comfort your ignorance." That could be a slogan for this show. John Adams, I guess I'll say this because I've already got it pulled up. I should probably save this for more for one of my financial shows. But he said, "There are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword. The other is by debt." Yeah, we're doing it to ourselves. And this is one of my favorites, Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky has done some important work over the years. He has fallen lockstep in with, I believe, vaccine mandates and really put out some pretty bad stuff. The guy's got to be in his 90s, maybe late 90s. He's getting on up there, but he's an intellectual and has certainly made some interesting observations over the years. And he said this, "The smart way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but allow very lively debate within that spectrum, even encourage the more critical and dissident views. That gives people the sense that there's free thinking going on, while all the time the presuppositions of the system are being reinforced by the limits put on the range of the debate." And we see this across all spectrums. The one that always jumps out to me the most is the income tax. We have very vigorous debate about what the personal income tax rate should be. The liberals say an individual should pay 28% of their income. The conservatives, those small, limited market people, limited government people, say, no, it should be 24%. I am well outside the Overton window, which is what Noam Chomsky is referring to, this small, limited range of debate that's allowed, that's acceptable, that's even entertained. See, a lot of people will hear me say things like, I believe that the individual income tax and the IRS should be completely abolished. And people hear that, even conservatives and Republicans say, oh, well, that's just ridiculous. I think we should change to a fair tax or a flat tax, because you are in this Overton window. You're being corralled into this limit on acceptable ideas by thinking that, well, the government has to steal money from us. I just wish they'd steal it from us in a more fair way. Not knowing, I was talking to somebody the other day. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my good friend Christina Dent, who does such great work exposing the problems with the war on drugs. And we were talking about the fact that the drug war is relatively new. The drug war is really 50 years old. Drugs have been illegal longer than that, but this real drug war is 50 years old. And people don't understand that in the early 1900s, you could go down to your local pharmacy and get heroin. People also don't understand that in the early 1900s, when you worked and earned a dollar, you kept a dollar. And we built quite a little country based on that for a long period of time prior to the income tax. But always be suspicious when you hear somebody say something and you immediately say, well, that could never happen. It's because that's how the system is designed, to keep you within this little fighting. Republicans know that we don't need your income taxes to operate a country, particularly when you've got the printing presses of the Federal Reserve. But they don't want you to know that, because they want all that cash from you. Easier to control you. What better way than to go to the polls every time and say, I'm going to save you $2,000 a year in taxes? It's basically, they use your own money to bribe you. I'm not done with quotes of the day. Thomas Jefferson said, the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution, so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Well, Tommy, I hate to tell you, that Constitution has not constrained anything, and the government certainly has become, it has become the criminal class. And then lastly, I like this one. This is just from somebody who posted a meme. I guess this is a Twitter thing. The vaxxed telling the unvaxxed to get vaxxed is like sending a wish you were here postcard from the Titanic. I like that one. This weekend, our own illustrious Josh West had lunch with Josh on Friday. Some of us from the station went out. And Josh turned me on to something that I'm sure many of you are already familiar with, because I've seen it all over the place. I don't do TikTok. I don't do a whole lot of Twitter, except for the few people I follow, or if a link comes to me or somebody shares something with me. But he shared with me the Twitter account of TikTok for Libs. I don't know. I'm sure, as I say, a lot of people have seen these things. By the time I mention something online, something that's gone viral or something on social media, I probably would imagine that most people knew about it 3 months ago, so it's probably bad form to talk about it here on the station. But I had heard about TikTok for Libs for a while, but I can't stand TikTok. And I thought it was a TikTok thing. Turns out it's a Twitter feed with a bunch of TikToks from liberals on there. First of all, I thought Facebook was a bad platform. Then I thought Twitter was a bad platform, just for the mental health of Americans. You know, Twitter has taken all nuance out of conversations between Americans, because it constrains you to whatever the character count is now. I think at one point it was, 168 characters? So there's no nuance, no chance. And I guess people can put out their streams and their long lines of different tweets and things, but it just, I think socially, mentally, emotionally, we're really not prepared to hear from everybody all the time. But even though I thought Facebook and Twitter were platforms that were dangerous. TikTok, I got to tell you, has got to take the cake. Or TikTok, is this all, are they all 60-second videos? That's the longest you can do. A TikTok feed is just a seizure waiting to happen as far as I'm concerned. But this TikTok for Libs account on Twitter, if you've not seen this, I tell you, don't go see it. Just don't. I'm going to tell Josh, thanks, but no thanks. I know why he shared it. There is some crazy stuff on there. There is no doubt about that. Some really bizarre people. I found it horribly sad and depressing. Because what this account does is it really highlights some of the most emotionally damaged, mentally unstable people that exist in our society. And many of those people are on the left. I would imagine if the left wanted to do one of the right, they could do something along the same lines. Look, we have always had people with mental health issues in this country. Every society has them. We've always had just basically everything we've got today. We've always had tyrants. I've read these quotes of the day, and I find these quotes sometimes that are thousands of years old by Roman emperors or Greek philosophers complaining about the same things that we're going through right now. You realize there's nothing new under the sun. Mental illness is nothing new under the sun. It may be more a larger portion of our society now that has mental illness, but we have never had it where all mentally ill people are just one 60-second video of themselves away from displaying their mental illness to the entire world. And I found that Twitter feed, the TikTok for Libs, I found that to be so much more disturbing and really quite sad. Understanding that mental illness, and particularly the way it's propagated now, these kids, particularly kids, the teachers, these people are all victims. I don't excuse them. They annoy me just as much as they annoy you. They disgust me as much as they disgust you. The idea that some of these teachers that get onto TikTok or onto Twitter and they propagandize to the kids is disgusting to me too. But these people have been so psychologically damaged by people that want this total breakdown of society. So if you've not seen TikTok for Libs, this is not a commercial for it. I tell you to avoid it, which will probably make more people want to go see it if you have not already seen it. But I got to tell you, if you leave that with any kind of smile on your face, I'd be shocked. I expected to see a lot of kind of absurd things that really you could kind of laugh at. What I left with was just, oh my God, what's happened? It's just mental illness on display. Nobody really needs that in their lives. I wish these people would just get some help. And as I say, it's not entirely on one side or the other. This is just mass mental illness, the cults that have sprung up around all kinds of political movements, politicians, and ideologies. It's just everywhere. I've been more on the, I just want to move to the country or to an island and drop out. I have been on that this whole weekend due to a couple of conversations and some other things. I'll snap back out of it. I actually like people, but I got to tell you, society, I think we've lost the plot. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
During the break just then, I had to get up and go blow my nose. Is this COVID? It's rough. I had to get out of my chair, go to the bathroom, get some tissue, blow my nose, come back to the studio. Now I understand what all the hysteria is about. This is rough. I'm going to get into my stacks of headlines here. Now let's just see if we don't detect maybe some tilt towards maybe more and more Americans catching on. My son called me this weekend, told me he thinks he's got the coof. He's got a bit of a scratchy throat. He got it from his triple-vaxxed girlfriend. That's his supposition anyway. You know, really, all of these people who tell you where they got it, really, I mean, you know, the chances are pretty good if his girlfriend had it. He's obviously close to her. It makes some logical sense, but I love all these people who move about society all day long. They go to meetings, they go to their office, but they stop and say hello to their friend George in the grocery store who they know is unvaxxed, and then they come down with COVID and they say, oh, it was when I stopped and talked to George. George is the one who gave me COVID. Before I get to this stack of headlines, I want to remind everybody, Thursday night, Americans for Prosperity is having their Pints and Policy get together. This is dinner, and they're just going to talk a little bit about the upcoming legislative session. Did I mention it's dinner? So they'll tell you what's on the docket, and they will give you, did I mention they'll give you dinner? My running joke with the people over at Americans for Prosperity is my involvement with them is nutritionally based. Some months they feed me two or three times a month. But anyway, this will be at the Bulldog there on Ridgewood Road. I believe it's at 6 o'clock. Usually lasts about an hour and a half if you want to sit around and talk to some folks and meet some like-minded people. But Americans for Prosperity getting ready for their Capitol Day on the 27th. And that'll be just a few hours in the middle of the day. So take a long lunch break and go down there and show your support for people fighting for your economic freedom here in Mississippi. That's Americans for Prosperity. But this Thursday at 6 o'clock at the Bulldog on Ridgewood Road. Dinner, conversation, and a little presentation on what they'll be fighting for this year. Okay, so here we go. Let's get into some of these headlines, see if we aren't detecting a shift here. This was, I think this was on Friday, and then I clipped some today. Friday, Saturday, something like that. Occasionally I'll jumble a few together. But here was the kind of taking the tone, the pulse of our fight with COVID in the United States. Florida cases, hospitalizations surging, but has second lowest death rate. What's going on? This is the headline. We've got a model that says the wave may peak in mid-January. Hospitals struggle to match Walmart pay as staff flees. Holy cow. I watched a roundtable with some nurses. I think I've got some notes on it later on in the show. It is amazing to see. To hear, I guess, is a better way to phrase it. It was amazing to hear how hospitals have treated their nursing staff in particular during this time of COVID and mandates. The way they have sent nurses on traveling schedules where nurses with 40 years, 30 years of experience are training brand new nurses that haven't even gotten their licenses yet. Or they're in such demand, but they're traveling and they're making three times what the 30-year veteran is making because the mess is just unbelievable. My heart goes out to you nurses who are watching this train wreck take place all around you. National Guard steps in to alleviate pressure. Medical center turns to heated tent to ease crush. Lab limits test access as demand soars. Mass jab sites back. CDC updates straining health departments. New York port hustles to cut logjam amid labor woes. Meat and egg shortages. Oh, you gotta love this one. Another one. New Deltacron strain combines Delta and Omicron. They're just having fun with words now, aren't they? Flu. Corona, Flurona, Delta, Omicron, Deltacron. 5 million sick out this week. Nationwide breakdown of services, record infections. And then I went on to another site. Went on to Zero Hedge at the time. And this is the story that came out. Omicron could end up being less deadly than seasonal flu, new U.S. study finds. So take all of these other headlines about staff shortages, tents being set up, no meat and eggs, 5 million people out sick, all of these other things, just to find out they've done a study and they go, ah, look at that. This thing is less deadly than the flu. And I heard somebody call into Clay's show earlier today talking about this testing. Oh, we got to test. This thing is just everywhere. We got to test. Well, I mean, if we've got to take Omicron's, the Omicron, as I describe it, if we've got to take the Omicron so seriously and it's less deadly than the flu, then is this the setup for every flu season from now on? I mean, seriously. Certainly we would take a more seriously deadly disease like the flu If it's more deadly than the Omicron, then certainly we need to start testing every year for the flu, contact tracing for the flu. These things have got to make sense in every scenario, right? It's not just because of the name of the disease. It is the lethality of the disease that matters. And if the flu is more deadly than Omicron, then certainly this is our future going forward. Your child with the flu, 10 days at home. So here's another stack of headlines. So the first one is nothing but really hysterics, bad consequences of the response to COVID, shortages, nurses, you know, non-existent, all of these other things. It's all the hyperventilating hysteria around COVID. And then I take a look at the headlines this morning. Poll, inflation up, virus down as priorities in the United States. Next headline, enough. More saying they're vaxxed and done, and I'm seeing a lot of this. I'm seeing an awful lot of this. There are a lot of people out there, and I see this primarily in the comment sections more than people I talk to because I really don't talk to that many vaxxed people. And if I know vaxxed people, and to be honest with you, I kind of don't broach the subject. But I'm seeing in comment sections on stories, it doesn't matter if it's a liberal site, an independent site, it doesn't matter where it is, I'm seeing more and more people say, look, I took the first two shots, I've taken the booster, but I'm done. I just got the dang Omicron. I'm finished. And I got to tell you, this fourth dose, I think you're going to have some dwindling numbers that accept that into their life. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Have you noticed recently also how all of a sudden now we want to start being truthful and transparent in the statistics? New York has now decided, and several other states are, and it'll all be following pretty soon, that they're going to release, and New York released the other day, the hospitalizations of the percentage of people that are actually there because of COVID, and those who were there for other reasons and actually just tested positive for COVID, come to find out in the state of New York, in New York City, it's 49% were there just for COVID.
Yeah, you know, the governor, I can't believe I didn't play that clip. I must have run out of time last week, but the governor, this nut job they've got running governor as a replacement for Cuomo, this Hochul woman came out and said, you know, I think a lot of these people are in the hospital with COVID, not from COVID, but they went in for something else like a broken leg and they tested positive, and we've got a markdown as a COVID hospitalization. We need to take a look at this. I can't believe I didn't play that clip because I was so stunned. I was like, yeah, that's what we've been saying for 22 months now.
Just so happens also this nut job that's in charge of the CDC now, one of the few people on Fox that actually will sometimes ask us a solid question, Brett Baer, tried to pin her down as to how many people actually died from COVID or with COVID, and she said that they would be coming out with those figures. And then this morning, she admits that 75% of the deaths have at least four.
Yes.
Comorbidity.
Yeah, I've got that clip
four.
Today. Yeah. Yep.
My God.
Yep. We are the land of comorbidities. I mean, there's no doubt about that. America is the comorbidities capital of the world. So it does bear repeating. But, you know, and this has been the argument for everybody. Why in the world are we quarantining and locking down and discriminating against the healthy? I mean, obviously, this has not been a disease that has stricken the healthy. But yeah, that is interesting. And I agree with you. Why do you think this is that suddenly they're saying these things? I mean, I don't.
Why?
Yes. I mean, there's
because
got to be a plan.
2022 and there's an election coming up. And now the Democrats and the liberals are going to run from this crap. They've owned it up until now. Now it's time to dump it. And we need to really examine what was going on. And, yes, there were some overreactions. But we were erring on the side of caution, you know?
Yeah, I mean, may be right, but will people not hold them accountable and say, what did you just put us through? You knew, I mean, these things like they're talking about with this in-hospital for COVID or with COVID, I mean, these statistics have been available to anybody who wanted to look since this thing started. I mean, you know, if you go in and you die of a motorcycle accident and the corpse tests positive for COVID, that's not a COVID death, but they did it anyway. I mean, so are people not going to say, what did you do to us not looking at these statistics?
You know what would be really nice is if somebody over at the WGOP radio station would ask, since they're the only ones that get interviews with Reeves and Dobbs, and
right,
folks, would ask these questions of them. So, hey, are we going to break out the number of people that died with up to four comorbidities?
Yeah.
Just two. Let's just go with two. I mean,
yeah.
Are we going to break this out? But I guarantee you they won't ask it. But it would be really, since they're the only ones with interviews, it would be nice if one of them would ask.
What's so gross to me is to be able to watch these people pivot without ever acknowledging they were wrong in the first place. And I've got clips today of, you know, we are told instead of we got it wrong, the phrase is the science is evolving. We're told at every minute they tell us the science says these vaccines are 95% effective. That's what the science is. And if you argue with that, you're arguing with science. Then they come out and say, well, it turns out it's only 39%. The science is evolving. But they don't go back and say, we got the first one wrong. You were right to question it. They just continue to set this new line and call it science every time without ever admitting that they were wrong before. And that is incredibly frustrating. I don't need a mea culpa. And from anybody who wants to, you know, come in from the hysteria, any just normies out here among us, I'm not mad at anybody for buying into this shot propaganda or the disease, the fear theater that you fell for. I'm not mad at anybody. I welcome anybody out of it. But at the highest level, the people that imposed these things on us, they need to resign because out of shame and admit that they were wrong, and we are not seeing it anywhere.
Well, you know, it is ironic that before you can't, you know, we've got to go with the science and the science, and you can't argue with the science. And now when it's, you know, things are changing, or the narrative is going to change. Well, you know, science is an evolving thing, and it's always changing. And that's what science is. Science is not exact. It's always it's a moving target.
Well, what's interesting to me is that the dissenters in this, the people who have called into question all kinds of things, from lockdowns to masking to social distancing to vaccinating into the middle of a pandemic, they have been consistent. And what's happening is everything is coming to their, you know, after 22 months, these people that have been warning on all of these things, telling you about the ineffectiveness of masks, there were never studies showing that they could contain an airborne virus, that the lockdowns don't work, that social distancing, 6 feet might as well be 60 feet. It really doesn't matter. I mean, all of their science that they were standing on, the dissenters against all of this tyranny and this ridiculous hyperventilation about the whole thing in the first place, they're being proven right over. I mean, they're still standing on the same science they were on 18 months ago, 22 months ago, 10 months ago. Whenever they spoke up, they said why these things wouldn't work and what would happen. And now it's all coming true. So on the, I don't want to call it left, right, but on the disease hysteric side, science is always evolving. And then there's this group of people, and they are virologists and immunologists and medical doctors and data scientists. They are all standing exactly where they were 18 months ago going, I know, we've been telling you this for 18 months. They were always right.
Yeah, and when you questioned it before, you were one of those science deniers. Oh, these flat earth people, these science deniers, you know, these anti-vaxxers,
called
everything but a child of God. But now all of a sudden, well, we're not going to acknowledge that they were right. We're just going to say that the science is changing.
Right. And the funny thing is that the people who have drug us down this COVID hellhole, they never had any science. I mean, I've played these clips endlessly. They keep saying, we hope, we believe, we intend, we suspect. I mean, they've been saying these kind of weasel words the whole way through this thing. And the actual science and scientists, again, these are credentialed people, people from Pfizer, people from the WHO, people from the Gates Foundation have been calling into question all of these things, these mitigation efforts. They are standing on the same science. They didn't need to say, we suspect. They say, our training tells us. Science has always shown. You know, they have stood on these things for forever. And they were called anti-science, even though they were using science all along. I mean, it's, I don't know, quite fascinating. Man, I appreciate the call. I got to jump to a break. I'm running a little bit long, but you're exactly right. We'll get to keep watching this. All right, we got to take a quick break.
We'll be right back. Around me, I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I was trying to find that clip from the governor of New York, who is finally coming out and just admitting this hospitalized for COVID versus hospitalized with COVID. I got to tell you, I'm surprised they're coming out and saying this now. Anthony Fauci. Now maybe I'll try to find both of these clips and play them back to back because. Robert, who called just a second ago, he's exactly right. They're just suddenly coming out with this. And I got to tell you, you know, there's two possibilities here. One, they have had a sudden bout of transparency and honesty. Or number two, they're up to something. I got to tell you, I'm with number two. We do not see spontaneous bouts of honesty and transparency from government officials. They cover up. They obfuscate. They escape responsibility. That to come out and say, "Oh my gosh! Well, but we should have been tracking this all along." How silly of us! It just doesn't happen. I'm going to finish these headlines just to show you kind of the change in tone here. So I read these first ones: poll, inflation up, virus down as priorities in the United States. Yeah, people are a little bit less concerned with the cold, and a little bit more concerned with the fact they can't gas their cars or find food in the stores. That does tend to take your attention a little bit. Enough. More saying they're, quote, vaxxed and done. They're not going on with this endless stream of shots. And there was a case made the other day. I may be able to find this clip, too. I don't know if I have time to get to it. I'm stacking up on new clips on top of the ones I've already got for today's show. But there was a doctor who met with the National Health Service guy over in England. He was a doctor. He didn't want the vaccine, and he was talking to this hysterical National Health Services director over there. He said, "I don't want the shot." He said, "If you look at the way these shots crank up and then wind down as they wane in their protectiveness," he said, "you are going to have a shot every 30 days for this to be at all effective. Because it takes 30 days to ramp up protection, then you have protection for about 30 to 60 days, maybe. And then it wanes. So obviously, if you can't take the shot when it wanes, because then you've got a month before it cranks back up again to get you fully protected. So you have to take the shot at least 30 days before it wanes. And if it wanes in 2 months, that's basically a shot every month." And this doctor was telling the National Health Services, this guy on live television, you know, National Health Services guy in Great Britain's just going to the hospitals to see all the obedient masked minions. And he ran into somebody who could think for himself. It was really quite an interesting clip. I'll see if I can find that, too. But anyway, other headlines. Fed up. Learn to live with it. Here's another headline. Evidence against mandates piles up. It's been piled up. It's been piled up for decades and decades, maybe centuries. These ridiculous mandates. Here's another headline. T-cells triggered by common cold also fend off corona. Huh. Isn't that interesting? It's that old, outdated 2019 theory of natural immunity and how one coronavirus infection gives you antibodies to tackle or mitigate or lessen the severity of other diseases that are also coronaviruses. And then the last headline in this stack, however, is not dissuaded by the evidence against mandates piling up. In one headline, the next headline says, in much of West, walls closing in on anti-vaxxers. That's the sad thing. With all of this newfound transparency, I'll find these clips in a second. with all this newfound transparency, that they're not going to stop the calls for the endless shots because Big Pharma owns the media, the government, and all of your healthcare professionals. I saw a roundtable of nurses who had been fired and harassed over the vaccines, and it was pretty amazing. It was an hour-long thing. And I sat there and kind of listened to all of it as I was doing something else. What I found really amazing, it was one of those things where I was playing it, I was listening to it, but yeah, I've got a little bit of ADHD, I guess. Now, I'm not going to say it's a diagnosed thing because that's absolutely ridiculous. I've just got monkey mind. I'm always looking for other information, and the internet has probably reduced my ability to focus for long periods of time. I'm working on that. But something did jump out at me. One of the nurses started talking about her experience here, and she said, you know what's really weird about all these vaccine mandates and all this testing, and they're firing nurses who don't have the shots now? They said for 18 months, they were never even tested. There were six nurses on this panel, and each one of them said, no, I was never tested. So for 18 months, these nurses were in close contact with COVID patients for hours and hours and hours a day, indoors, and the hospitals didn't even see a need to test them to see if they were actually bringing COVID back into the hospital during one of their shifts. There was no testing. Now, that was surprising to me. I just figured, since they were imploring all of us normies out here to constantly get tested, everybody lining up for this ridiculous PCR test that was so misused for 18 months, these nurses go, yeah, they didn't even test us. Now, suddenly, if we don't have a shot that doesn't stop us from contracting or spreading the disease, now we have to lose our careers. And many of these nurses had been in it for 20, 30 years. They've been forced out by a profession, by hospitals that didn't even test them before. Not for lack of testing. I'm sure hospitals could have gotten whatever they wanted. That should just tell you, none of this is about health. None of this is about containing a virus. I still, for the life of me, don't know exactly what the nexus point of this is. It may truly be money. I don't know, but it's certainly not about health. If it was about health, yeah, they might have tested the nurses at some point during 18 months prior to the shot, and then them demanding that they take the shot or lose their jobs. This is really sick stuff. And speaking of sick stuff, when I come back, I've got a clip to show you the mass mental illness. We have another victim of the hysteria, somebody who has been so frightened to do something so stupid. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. All right, a reminder to everybody, there is a Madison County School Board meeting tonight at 5 o'clock there at their headquarters on Highland Colony Parkway. Let's see if they just sent me the address. I'm not sure if they did. No. Same spot as the school board, school, whatever, they're building on Highland Colony. Look it up. Maybe someone will send me the address. I'll make another announcement. The school board in Rankin County has already taken some new action around the Omnicon. You know, back in masks, if you've been in contact with somebody. I mean, they're going to do what they've been doing. And it's because they think that they can. Just a stellar video I heard yesterday of a guy standing up in front of a school board somewhere, just really railing on them. You know, I don't know if that's the most effective way. He had a pretty biting speech. He started calling all the males on him, a bunch of beta males, and they were staring at him. And I don't know. You know, people are so closed off to stuff, they might have been thinking about what they were going to do that night. I don't know. But anyway, it is important to get to these school boards. They're going to pull this mask stuff back with these kids, and we have got to get out in front of these shots. They are going to continue this demand, and Mississippi is one of the worst. If you think it can't happen here, it's been happening here for decades. All of our kids can't attend school if they don't have all of these shots. And I'm dying to know how many people might have changed their mind on that, realizing that. And the biggest eye-opener to me was that many countries don't mandate shots for all of their kids. But anyway, a school board meeting tonight. I actually thought, if I misled anybody, I think last week. Originally, when I looked at the calendar, it was on January 3rd. I think it's the first Monday of every month. I thought it was odd for it to be on the 3rd, but I might have announced it last week. But it is tonight, a school board meeting. I will be unable to attend this one because I kind of adjusted my schedule for a meeting that didn't take place last week. But I'm sure I will get out ahead of the next one and be there because, you know, again, there's also this critical race theory stuff. People are, I love it. I'm watching these Madison moms track down all of the different books that are in the different schools. I'm on a message board with them, and I saw them. They're all combing through the libraries of all of the schools in Madison County. They're finding these perverted indoctrination books on the shelves of the Madison County libraries. I think there's been some ability by some of the librarians to say, oh, my God, I didn't even realize we had that. So they're doing good work. They're getting some of this stuff off the shelves. But you need to get involved. Madison County School Board meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. You need to make time to be there. Be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I've become singularly obsessed during the last three news breaks and commercial breaks for trying to find this clip of the New York governor saying, you know, we're starting to notice that a lot of these records show our kids are hospitalized with COVID and not from COVID. And the question is, why are they starting to become transparent about this? We've been jumping up and down about this for 22 months now. As this ticker on CNN and MSNBC, and 840,000 people have died from COVID. No, 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 no. A lot of those people have died with COVID. They had a positive PCR test after they had a heart attack. Those kinds of things. But here's even Anthony Fauci. I'm going to find this clip. May take me the rest of the show or tomorrow. This was Anthony Fauci even said this.
You're going to still see a lot more children who get hospitalized. But the other important thing is that if you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we mean by that, if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID and they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID.
Holy cow. Am I to believe that Anthony Fauci has been struck with a new sense of honesty and integrity, transparency? I don't believe it. People are up to something. I'm still going to look for that clip. Anyway, all of this fear mongering. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a little jog here. The U.S. Supreme Court has been hearing arguments about mandates. And so we've got some audio has come out from the oral arguments of this stuff. And it is pretty stunning stuff. I don't know if you've heard this. I am, particularly as a libertarian person, I know there was a lot of, I was glad to see Trump or anybody put conservative people on the Supreme Court because I know that, you know, liberals have gone full-on authoritarian, had lost all of their roots of civil liberties and things like the First Amendment. So, you know, I would certainly much rather see a conservative Supreme Court. But as a libertarian who just wants these people out of my lives, the idea of nine people, human beings, with all of their failings, with all of their prejudices, their biases, their ability to twist logic like any other human being, I don't like nine people being in charge of policy for 330 million people. I guess there should be some, you know, check to these things. I just don't feel like the Supreme Court has really delivered on much. Look at the last 22 months of our lives. Anyway, this has finally ended up at the Supreme Court. You would think that the Supreme Court, when you've got nine guys and gals that are set to decide very, very big issues, that they would have some of the best, most accurate information to really go into their chambers and truly sit with themselves and ponder and deliberate what they want to do. Well, we found out for sure now that is not the case. This is Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor. And listen to what she says as she considers these mandates. Listen to the numbers she throws out around coronavirus. Now, I'm not sure why she's considering these things anyway. She's supposed to be deciding an issue of legality, not some perceived necessity, not something that's scary. Is it constitutional or not to force people to inject themselves with something? That really should be, to my thinking, that's the question. But listen to the numbers she gives, get into kind of where her headspace is.
Counsel, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did.
Okay. She is, can I say the word? I was going to say literally. It may be accurate. She may be the only person. Even the horrific mainstream media, even the hysterical Thomas Dobbs, has admitted that Omicron is less virulent, less damaging, the symptoms. Now, they always say, well, we're waiting to see. You know, we don't have quite enough data to say this is. But look, I played the clips from the South African health minister who said, look, this thing is mild. It's a cold. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 80. Doesn't matter if you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. This thing is just a cold. It's no big deal. We got a bunch of cases. Everybody had cold symptoms. It went away in a few weeks. Even here in the United States, they have said, look, this is certainly much milder than Delta or the Alpha strains were, except for Sotomayor. Somehow she has gotten the information that this is just as deadly as anything else.
Counsel, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did. The numbers, look at the hospitalization rates that are going on. We have more affected people in the country today than we had a year ago in January. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people is severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children.
Wait, what?
Which we've never had before. In serious condition, and many on ventilators. So saying it's a different variant just underscores the fact that without some workplace rules with respect to vaccines or encouraging vaccines, because this is not a vaccine mandate, and requiring masking and requiring isolation of people who have tested for COVID, because none of you have addressed that part of the ETS is to say something that should be self-evident to the world but is not, which is if you're sick, you can't come into work. The workplace can't let you into the workplace, and you shouldn't go on unmasked. Tell me what's irrational about rules of that nature when it is the workplace that puts you into contact with people that will put you at risk.
So there you go. Well, there's a lot of misinformation in there. I hope they've taken down her Twitter account. She says there are 100,000 children in the hospital right now, some of them on ventilators. The current national pediatric COVID census per Health and Human Services is 3,342. Not 100,000, but 3,000. And most of them, even admitted by the mini Mengele himself, Anthony Fauci, are there with COVID, not because of COVID. This is one of the nut jobs in a black robe that is set to decide our fate when it comes to mandates and OSHA's ability to force us to do things against our will. Even the CDC director, the lying Walensky, she was even asked about some of these things because, you know, Sotomayor got things so incredibly wrong. I'm not sure if this clip addresses actually what Sotomayor said that she had to come out and say. Yeah, this is certainly not the case with 100,000 children. She I don't think this is the same clip, but she went in and tried to pivot into just blaming the unvaccinated for everything. rather than just coming out. I mean, it's so easy. This is a frustration with everything. If you're a health expert, if someone says, hey, Sotomayor just mentioned 100,000 children, and I guess this was Brett Baer in his interview with her, she mentions 100,000 people, children in the hospital with COVID. That number's not accurate, is it? Our number's showing 3,000. And she says, yes. And then she goes off onto a tangent. Why doesn't she just go, yeah, that number was way off. Yeah, she's not right at all there. It's only 3,000 children. And most of those are there with COVID, not because of COVID. Next question. But she didn't. She went off on a long, rambling way of saying that any children who are in the hospital, the reason they're there is because they're unvaccinated, and usually they're because they're exposed to unvaccinated. But she went off on a whole thing about how it's always the unvaxxed. The funny thing is, though, and I don't know what you're seeing in your life and in your social circle, kind of seems like we're all seeing a lot of people triple jabbed getting this thing, doesn't it? I really believe that this pandemic of the unvaccinated is really finally wearing itself out. It's never been the case. I've done the statistics from countries all over the world, but we've really held on here in the United States to a pandemic of the unvaccinated. But boy, I got to tell you, I know a lot of triple vaxxed who have gotten the COVIDs. The caller to the Clay Edwards show earlier. My son may have the COVIDs right now. He suspects he got it from his vaccinated girlfriend. But here is back to the idea of the science. I'll tell you what, I'll take a break real quick, and then we'll get to this lying Walensky at the CDC. Boy, she is having to do some shucking and some jiving right now because people are starting to point out that all of these mandates and all of these rules, 10 days, 5 days, mask, no mask, two masks, all of these things from the CDC have just been so wildly confusing to everybody that she's actually having to answer some decent questions from even mainstream people because the absurdity of what the CDC has said, and I think I was a little ahead of this. Apparently there's some social media movement, or maybe it's a Twitter trend thing. CDC says, I've been talking about that last year. CDC says stay at home. CDC says wear one mask. CDC says wear two masks. Wear three masks. Oh, you put three masks on. CDC didn't say. You know, it's been this game of CDC says. Well, even Savannah Guthrie had some tough questions for Rochelle Walensky. We'll do those when we come back. Stay with me.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, before we get into the lying Walensky and her running headlong into Savannah Guthrie. I mean, they are trying to change, you know, this idea of we're going to have to live with this. Joe Biden coming out and saying there is no federal response to this. Of course, after promising during his campaigning against Trump that he would fix it all single-handedly. And now he says there's no federal response. It's so funny because that's what we've been saying for 22 months. This is a household by household. It's just amazing. This pivot is odd. I can't quite figure out what it is. But I started to say earlier, I kind of teased this and then didn't play it. This is what happens. This is the kind of insanity that you breed when you terrorize people with a big boogeyman. You give a population of not very smart people something really, really scary out there, and you just drive them to this insane level of hysteria. You may have already heard about this, but this just shows what people are susceptible to in this country.
A Cypress Falls high school teacher accused of putting her 13-year-old son inside her car trunk has bonded out of jail. Sarah Beam is charged with child endangerment. We're told she was at a drive-through COVID-19 testing site in Northeast Harris County when a worker found the 13-year-old and notified police. Beam allegedly said her son tested positive for COVID and she did not want to be exposed. Beam is now out on a $1,500 bond. Cyfair ISD says Beam has been placed on administrative leave.
She was a teacher. She was a teacher, and she locked her 13-year-old in the trunk because he tested positive. I guess for the Omnicon. A teacher. I would choose to view her to keep some faith in humanity. She is a victim. She is a victim of endless fear-mongering and propaganda. Here was another one. This was just interesting. Another convenient. This is an interview. And we have another one of these mysterious phone fails. Now, I don't know how many of those we played on the show, but you've seen these things before, right? A caller calls in somewhere and starts to say something, particularly in national media, not here at WIAB, where we are a bastion of free speech. But you'll see mainstream media, like if a reporter is reporting on something and the facts start going contrary to the pharmaceutical companies or anything else, suddenly they lose the feed. We've seen these a lot. Here was another one. This was, I believe this is in the UK on the BBC. And they got a call. Well, I'll let it explain itself.
Well, talk of sports with a lot of money, although before you say it, Carol, Port Vale's not one of them, Port Vale Football Club. And what about your players? What do they tell you about their nervousness about taking anything at all?
Well, firstly, can I say that Port Vale's one of the highest percentage of vaccinated players in our league. So it isn't that there's a big issue with it in that way.
Okay, so phone connection, perfectly good. She says, yeah, well, our football team, meaning soccer over there, our football team is one of the highest vaccinated in the league. Everything's fine. The phone connection sounds good and sound. Let's see how that plays out.
But they are worried.
Because?
And I think, you know, when you're looking at professionals, well, because they can see that there are other sports people that have suffered, whether it's through heart attack or death or what have you. Mm. Now, it may be that there's all there is now and it's raised the consciousness. I don't know. But it is scaring them. And they...
Mm. We're not having a lot of luck with the Lions, are we, today? But Dame Tanny...
Oops. She starts to say, yeah, our soccer players are kind of noticing that a bunch of other soccer players around the continent are dropping dead of heart attacks in the field of play, in the training rooms, during practices. She starts to say that, and suddenly, gosh golly gee willikers, her phone cuts off again. They just can't establish a good connection with her. Yeah. All right, let's see what we got here. This is the Lion Walensky. I believe this is on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie, one of the fearmongers at NBC. The Today Show has become chronically unwatchable.
A number of high-profile members of the Biden administration's former COVID advisory board have coordinated a series of op-eds out today. And among other things, they say COVID is here to stay. And it also...
See, this is coordinated. You just heard her say this is a coordinated thing by former... You know, health Nazis in the administration, they had a coordinated drop of 10 or 12, I forget the number she said, of dropping of op-eds basically on the same day around the country trying to change this idea from we're going to beat COVID to, oh, COVID's here to stay. And this is what Robert and I were talking about last hour. I don't know what this is, but this is coordinated. They are making a push. They focus grouped it, I guess, and said this is the new tact.
Says the administration needs to change its approach. Dr. Luciana Borio says it feels like we are always fighting yesterday's crisis and not necessarily thinking what needs to be done today to prepare us for what comes next. These are former advisors to the White House. Do you agree COVID-19 is here to stay and the administration needs to change its approach?
You know, we are definitely looking at a time ahead of us where SARS-CoV-2 will be an endemic virus. We are in the middle of a surge right now. And so we have to do everything we can to address that surge. And we continue at CDC to update our guidance in the context of evolving science, of evolving epidemiology, and what is practical and feasible in a collaboration with our public health partners.
Okay, so I'm going to play that last part of that clip again. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the evolving science, the evolving virology or immunology.
Middle of a surge right now, and so we have to do everything we can to address that surge. And we continue at CDC to update our guidance in the context of evolving science, of evolving epidemiology, and what is practical and feasible in a collaboration with our public health partners.
Yeah, so the evolving science, the evolving epidemiology. Here's the problem with that. The people that were right about this all along, epidemiology has not changed because of this virus. Nothing's changed about the ineffectiveness of masks. They were ineffective prior to 2019. They're still ineffective. The science has not evolved. What they're trying to tell you is that somehow COVID is so different that it's we have to just throw out the old playbook of hundreds of years of studies on masks and social distancing and all of these other things. We need to throw that all out because this is some kind of a unique, novel virus, and we just don't understand it yet. Yet there are tens of thousands of scientists and medical professionals standing on the sidelines screaming, we've all been trained in this stuff. Lockdowns don't work. Masks don't work. You don't vaccinate into a pandemic. Their science doesn't have to evolve because they're standing on the science of hundreds and hundreds of years. Virology has not changed. Epidemiology has not changed because of coronavirus. The CDC is attempting to make it change to fit a narrative, which is fear corona at all times. Now she goes on.
Why is the guidance so confusing? And I just have to say, the American Medical Association said the new recommendations on quarantine and isolation from the CDC are not only confusing, but are risking further spread of the virus.
Well, if the AMA had grown a set, if the AMA was honest, if the AMA was not bought and paid for by Big Pharma, the AMA could have drawn on hundreds of years of science before. They say you don't lock down. You certainly don't lock down healthy people for some reason. This is the same kind of disease that attacks the vulnerable. You probably had a cohort of the population, 75, 80 and above, with comorbidities, and you would have told them, hey, be careful out there. Got a tough one. But the AMA sold to Big Pharma, and now they're saying it's so confusing. What do we order our patients to do now?
How do you respond?
Yeah, very important. Thank you for the opportunity to clarify. So for many months, years, we had isolation and quarantine guidance that said 10 days. And we are now standing on the shoulders of years of science that has demonstrated that if you are infected, you are most contagious in the 1 to 2 days prior to your symptoms and the 2 to 3 days after your symptoms. So we know that the vast majority of your contagiousness by day 5 is really behind you.
And they had you quarantined for what? What was it originally? 14 days? You understand you are living at the whim of these bureaucrats? They know nothing. Well, maybe they do know something, but they don't care what they know. They know what their goal is. They know what they want to do, what they want to impose. They're either idiots or they have some grand plan, and it has nothing to do with this so-called evolving science. This is a disease like every other disease. This is a viral infection like every other viral infection. There didn't need to be any reinventing of epidemiology in this case, but that's what they've attempted to do, telling you that they needed to just, well, we got to figure this out. We're waiting for the data. Data doesn't matter. An airborne virus. We've lived with them for forever.
In this moment, where we're evaluating the science and looking at the epidemiology of the disease, we said 5 days of isolation, and then are you feeling better? Is your cough gone? If your symptoms are gone, we say, come out of that. You're okay to come out of that isolation, but you really do need to wear a mask. All
sticking with them. Yeah, but we do need you to put that ineffective cloth mask right back on.
Of the time. Now, I have deep respect for AMA, but and I've read their statement.
Look, they have AMA has the same masters that I have. I mean, AMA works for Big Pharma. I work for Big Pharma. We're fellow travelers, so I've got the deepest respect for an organization like the AMA that sells Big Pharma products like we do here at the CDC.
What I will say is we've gotten a lot of support from our partners in our public health spheres, in our clinical spheres.
I liked that. I thought that was interesting. Our public health spheres, our clinical spheres. What's another name for a sphere? A bubble. Just like people get in their political bubbles. You know, you don't want to talk to anybody outside of that bubble. You get into your bubble, it's an echo chamber bubble. Yeah, these are their spheres, and you've seen what happens to any of the doctors, medical professionals, epidemiologists, virologists that are outside of their bubble. They just don't listen to them. They ignore them. They deplatform them. They censor them. They're in their bubbles. That's just another word for the sphere that she's referring to.
And and in, you know, in our laboratory spheres as well. We have heard people who are interested in getting and doing a test. They have access to a test. They want to know how to interpret it. And when we updated our recommendations just this week, we provided guidance for how you interpret that test if you so choose to do take that extra step at the end of your isolation.
I've got one other clip for her. I'm going to crank it up here. I'm headed towards a quick break in a second, but let's just see if she has anything to value add here. I didn't put a note on exactly what this was, but this is, oh, well, yeah, there's a little funny stuff. Brings up the viral campaign of CDC Says, which I do find pretty funny. Again, it may be part of the great awakening of people, or it may be the conservatives that have been resisting this thing from the beginning are just having fun because all of the humor now is on the right for some reason.
Why is the guidance so confusing? And I just have to say, the American Medical Association said the new recommendations on quarantine.
I'm sorry, let me skip ahead here. I guess that's a longer clip.
As well, we have heard people who are interested in getting and doing it.
A meme on social media poking fun at the CDC's advice. Tweets like CDC now recommends eating straight off the floor at Waffle House. The CDC now says it's in fact okay to eat Tide Pods. The CDC says go ahead and get bangs.
I like that one.
You know, it's amusing, people letting off steam, of course, but is there a larger credibility problem with your agency right now? And how significant is that in the midst of a pandemic?
Is there a larger credibility problem? The title of your agency is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And according to your own numbers, you have the worst record on planet Earth of controlling and preventing this disease. Does that affect your credibility?
You know, we at the CDC are 12,000 people who are working 24/7 following the science with its ever.
Are you with me? Let's give them a year off. Matter of fact, let's give them 10 years off. They've been working so hard. I am willing. Let's just close the CDC. They've got to be exhausted. Let's close the CDC for 10 years. Give them a real good rest. And we'll see if we can't solve some of the problems without them.
Evolving nature in the midst of a really fast-moving pandemic, and we are doing so, putting our head down to keep America safe. We will continue to update. We will continue to improve how we communicate to the American public. This is fast-moving science.
All right, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, thank you. Should I get bangs?
They are keeping their head down to keep the American people safe, yet their own statistics show huge surges, what they say are full hospitals. I mean, every word that comes out of their mouth to try to frighten the American people is actually admission of failure, but it's never couched that way. They say they're keeping their heads down, keeping the American people safe. At the same time, they tell you, yeah, we've lost almost 1 million people to this thing. Our hospitals are overrun. Nurses are overworked. And now we got another huge surge of this Omicron. We're giving people shots right and left, and the people are still contracting it, still being hospitalized, still dying. I mean, but we're keeping you safe. I mean, how do these two thoughts coexist at the same time within the mind of the CDC or any of the media people who continue to defer to them as some level of, air quotes here in the studio, experts?
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I don't have time really to get deep into this article like I want to, so I may save it for another day. There's a great article written about, you know, how we root out the psychopaths, the sociopaths from ruling over us, and the way humanity has evolved, where they hide themselves and then they attain positions of power, essentially is what it is. I have talked a lot on this show about the psychopaths in our foreign policy place. Our foreign policy has been hijacked by psychopaths. And we've seen a lot of them on display, and I talked a lot on Friday. You know, we look at this mass formation that has gone on around COVID. This is the new buzzword that's going around from the, I believe, Danish Danish intellectual, and it caught fire because Dr. Robert Malone talked about it on Joe Rogan. Everybody started searching for and doing internet searches for, I don't use the G word here, but they did internet searches for mass formation psychosis. Now, this is not the first one we've had. I believe our foreign policy, a lot of particularly conservatives who consider themselves small, limited government, constitutional, conservative Christians have bought into this idea that we should be flying unmanned drones all around the world and just dropping bombs on school children. And that has been happening. Now, maybe we got some insurgents or so-called terrorists. Of course, do you believe that everybody that the U.S. foreign policy points to as a terrorist is a terrorist? Now that you know that they can point to Americans just wandering through the Capitol building and refer to them as a terrorist as well? You know, I heard a story the other day where, I don't know if I've got the clip. I'm drowning in clips right now. I got to be honest with you. I can't find half the things I'm looking for. I'm doing a bad job of cataloging my clips, I guess. Maybe I'm mistitling them. I'm swamped with these things. But there was a story out the other day where they talked about the FBI when it came to January 6th that we just recognized the anniversary of that tragic day in American history. The FBI had mobilized their largest investigation in its history against Americans. Now, it's bigger than 9/11. That's right. Of course, with 9/11, the FBI knew who did it long ago. You know, they knew the Saudis funded some people, and then there's the rest of the 9/11 story that stinks to high heaven. But so I guess they didn't really need to investigate much. The FBI knew 9/11 was coming. They had shut down investigations into all kinds of things around 9/11 months before it happened. But it is the largest investigation in the history of the FBI targeting Americans. Anyway, I strayed from my point there a little bit. I believe there's been mass formation around Americans who have followed, right now, as we follow the COVID psychopaths, your Minnie Mengele, Anthony Fauci, your hysterical little girl, Thomas Dobbs. We've been following the Dick Cheneys of the world, the Donald Rumsfelds, the Robert Gates, the John Boltons, in another mass formation psychosis that has convinced Christians that it's okay to invade another country and kill a bunch of innocent people that never did anything to our country just because someone said the words national security to you. I see such parallels to that and COVID. And the thing is, can we see this in ourselves? I was in that mass formation of believing national security meant we needed to go topple other governments. I was there. I was in it. I was in the cult. Not sure exactly how I escaped, but it became so apparent to me that what we were doing in Iraq and Afghanistan and suddenly now in Libya and all these other places, it became so apparent to me, this has nothing to do with keeping America safe, that I think I kind of snapped myself out of it. It just didn't make any sense. But for most people, they look to cling to every little nugget. They go, well, yeah, but Mike, you may be right. We've got a bunch of psychopaths there. But we do need to counter Iran, Mike, because you don't realize you're just still in that mass formation. You're still in that mindset where you believe this idea of national security. Yeah, I know that Iraq was a mistake because Trump told me so. And I know Afghanistan, we needed to end that war because Trump told me so. But Iran, you know, CNN, they might have gotten a lot wrong. But Iran, I've seen a lot of people come on Fox News, and Donald Trump told us that we needed to really, really tighten the screws on Iran. So that's the good war. The logic of that stuff is so similar to me as an observer. You know, I'm outside of all the bubbles. I might have my own little bubble. I don't know. I'm always looking to see where my logic could be challenged, where I might be missing something. But I look outside of all these things and watch what I perceive as just bizarre cult-like behavior in a whole host of different issues. And I see the same thing. You terrorize people with COVID or terrorize people with other countries coming to take our stuff. Bottom line is, this is a great piece about, you know, psychopaths being in charge and the numbers of people amongst us that are psychopaths. And we have a disproportionate amount within leadership, both parties, all branches of government. And, you know, with a psychopath or a sociopath, they don't need much power, do they? They get the tiniest little smidgen of control, and boy, they go whole hog crazy with it. We've seen this with just, you know, people enthusiastically enforcing the mask mandates. Now, I don't know if these are sociopaths or psychopaths or just the victims of a terror campaign upon their mind for a period of time, but though they have loved their authority of going around and telling people to make sure their mask right, up over your nose, up over your nose. When I come back, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and since I can't get into this article, I do want to bring a public service announcement about these shots. And I don't, maybe people are tired of hearing about it, but boy, I mentioned this. I just didn't have the study in front of me last week. It is not bad enough that these shots are causing harm. The problem is when they're rolling these boosters out, it appears to be, and I'm going to talk to you about a study. I'm serious. This is like a public service announcement when I come back. They've done a study. They studied, I want to say it was 42 million Britons. How many? This is people in Great Britain again, because you can't get anything from the United States because pharmaceutical companies own everything here. This study is based on the data from 42 million Britons who received at least one COVID vaccine dose, including roughly 22 million who received the mRNA vaccines. So this is data from 22 million people. And for those of you out there, it looks like more and more of you are starting to say, I'm not lining up for the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. I'm done. I did what you asked me to do. Now leave me alone. Look, we're glad to have you. We hope that you escaped the first two shots without any problems, but we're glad to have you fighting back against this bait and switch that they put you on. But wait till you hear some of the data that's come out of this study of 22 million people in Great Britain. Be right back. All right, final segment for the day. Final reminder of my show today. School board meeting, Madison County School Board meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. I know that's early. They do that on purpose. They don't want you to be able to make it. They want to say, well, we put it after work, but we also put it so close to the end of your day that there's no way you can get there in time. Trust me, it's an invitation. The good thing is now, in today's world, all you have to do is just go to your boss at 4 o'clock today and go, oh, man, my throat's a little scratchy. I better go get a test. You can just tell them you tested negative and show right back up to work tomorrow. It's a free hour off. Hell, you could take a week off if you want to. It's a great time to be alive if you don't like your job, isn't it? Anyway, school board meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. Try to be there. All right, I'm going to run through some of this stuff real quick. Studying 22 million Britons with these shots. A huge new study has found that the risk of serious heart problems called myocarditis in men under 40 soars with each dose of a COVID mRNA vaccine and is sharply higher than the risk from coronavirus infection itself. Well, we already knew that for the people of that age group. But why I think this is important to mention, and I don't think this will be the last time I talk about it, is that if you've had the two shots and you didn't have any adverse events, the third shot doesn't necessarily, it's not a free pass. It doesn't mean you're immune to any side effects from this thing. The study, which British researchers released in late December, showed the risk of myocarditis almost doubled after the first Pfizer shot in men under 40. Then it doubled again after the second and doubled again after the third to almost eight times the baseline risk. For the Moderna vaccine, the risks were even higher, reaching 16-fold after the second shot. They said the risk of a third Moderna shot could not be calculated because too few people had received it at the time they did this study. And the reason for that, they believe, is that because Moderna has 100 micrograms of mRNA, which Pfizer only has 30. The study also contained some evidence that post-vaccine myocarditis might be more dangerous than other forms of myocarditis. It showed a trend towards higher death rates in people hospitalized for myocarditis after vaccination compared to other myocarditis cases. And they went in here and they saw that 14% of the people hospitalized post-vaccine for myocarditis, 14% of the people hospitalized for myocarditis after their vaccines died. 14%. When in normal life, myocarditis is not something new. This has struck people before. But in those cases, only 9% of people hospitalized for myocarditis died. And that's about a 50%. I mean, I'm doing my public school math here, but it's 5% higher on 9%. So it's over a 50% higher risk of dying compared to just getting myocarditis from an unrelated cause. So the main takeaway from this is that you're increasing your risk with every time you take this jab. You know, and you start to look at these athletes that are dropping. You look at the One America insurer who is pointing to all of these different life insurers that are showing an increase in mortality rate for people that are between the ages of 18 and 64. And I got to tell you, if they're not related, it's one hell of a coincidence, isn't it? Had somebody email me earlier. I want more of these. I want to find out what's going on in the real world. I'm kind of cloistered in my world. I'm not around a big employer or anything like that. He said, I have three heavily vaxxed bosses, at least two bosses, two shots and boosters. I am the only one in the office that hasn't been vaxxed. One of these heavily inoculated bosses is still out with his second COVID episode. One called in this morning. He's home with a second bout of COVID. He wonders why he is the one in the workplace that is supposedly a danger. Yeah, it makes absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. But logic is not a part of the 2020s America. Get to the school board meeting tonight. That's all the time I got today. See you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.